I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We've been having conversations about Michael Jackson's memorial service and his legacy. Now a look at how all that has been handled by the media. Millions of Americans have tuned into the coverage that followed Jackson's death on the talk shows, the specials, and the Los Angeles memorial service held yesterday. But others say enough already, that they have reached their limit of tearful tributes from fans and celebrity admirers, that it has passed time, it is long past time for the media to look away. Lisa DeMoraes is one of them. She's a media critic for The Washington Post. She's written about the Jackson coverage. Also with us is Carol Doherty. He's the associate director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. And they recently released a survey of how Americans felt about the Michael Jackson coverage. They're both with us now. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be
You're
here.
Welcome.
Now, Lisa, it sounds like you were over it a while ago. In fact, let me just read the first line from your piece that you published on Tuesday. In Tuesday's Washington Post, you said, "The Michael Jackson memorial orgy of excess has arrived." You noted that there were some elephants parading near the Staples Center who were due to come to the circus, which was being held there later this week. And you said that that was appropriate because that's, in fact, what this was. But come on now. A much-loved artist, a global superstar, was it really so wrong?
Well, no, not at all. You're mistaking my calling it an orgy of excess. You're mistakenly thinking that I think that's a bad thing. And I don't at all. I love orgies of excess.
I see. Okay.
I think that what the press was doing was what the public wanted to watch based on the numbers. So I don't think they're actually going to step away from this now. I think this will continue until we get the toxicology reports, at least.
Okay, but you said, I got it wrong, but you said now the freak show, and then you listed all the coverage.
Right.
So,
yes.
So well, I don't know, it seems to me that
that's what TV does best. Excess is what, we love excess in this country, and television is great at providing people with that. And I thought that TV actually really stepped up to the plate on this story.
Did you watch the service yourself, the memorial?
I did.
And what was your what's your take on it as a media event, and also as a public memorial? Did it match the subject at hand?
I actually thought it was terrific. I was surprised that there were no big glitches, given how little time they had to put this together. I think that's undoubtedly because AEG, the people who are working on his concert, and other people who are professionals at putting on shows, were involved in this memorial service. And I really thought it came off. There were very few glitches.
And Carol, I haven't forgotten about you. One more question for Lisa before we turn to you. Michael Jackson's brother Marlon spoke at the memorial service yesterday. He was one of the final speakers before Michael's daughter spoke. I just want to play a short clip of what he said. Here it is.
"We would never understand what he endured, not being able to walk across the street without a crowd gathering around him, being judged, ridiculed. How much pain can one take? Maybe now, Michael, they will leave you alone."
I'm asking you to speculate, Lisa, but who do you think he was talking to? Do you think in part he was talking to the media? Do you think what's your take on that?
Well, I think that's entirely what he's talking about, and that is the downside of becoming as big a phenomenon as Michael Jackson was. I mean, when you're getting back to the point of, do you think the media has done too much? And I believe not at all. This is a man who had a profound influence, for better or for worse, on music, on dance, and on fashion. And there are very few people that you can say that about. This man was enormously important to our pop culture. And the bad side of that is that, yes, you end up getting stalked by paparazzi, and particularly when you start doing things like he did to his face, and that becomes the subject. And I'm sure that was very difficult.
Carol, you have some numbers on this. You actually polled on this last week, and there are also some new numbers. What did the Pew poll find about how closely Americans are following this story, and how do they feel about the coverage?
Well, clearly it was a top story from the public's perspective last week. No surprise there, and it remains that way this week, even though the news to date before the funeral, you know, has just been a continuing story. But they also see that the coverage has been too much. 64% say too much coverage, as you might expect. People are drawn to it, yet they also see it as excessive.
And there was an interesting racial and age breakdown in reaction to this. Tell us about that.
Well, that's pretty surprising. I mean, we see Jackson as a crossover figure, but African Americans, at least initially, were far more interested than whites. 80% of blacks said they followed it very closely compared with 22% of whites. And whites were also more likely than blacks to say too much coverage.
You said, in fact, more than half of African Americans, 54%, said the amount of coverage has been about right compared to 25% of whites. 7 in 10 whites say there's been too much coverage compared with 36% of blacks. What do you make of that, Carol? And Lisa, I'm curious about your reaction as well.
Well, I think it's a big story for whites, but it's a mega story for African Americans. I think that there was an element there that this was a real icon, and that, you know, people were expressing that.
Lisa, what's your take on this? And I've noted that in the Post and in other media outlets, there have been a number of pieces written by African Americans about how deeply African Americans felt about Michael Jackson's death, even as they're expressing ambivalence about what they perceived as his shifting racial identity over the years. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, I think that the numbers to really look at are the numbers that are going to come out today, and that's the ratings. And you can get demographic information as well about who watched, what age group they were, what ethnic group they were. I think, speaking to the poll, that when people are watching in the kinds of numbers that they have been watching, that speaks louder than polling. If people are watching, it's because they're interested. And when we talk about excess, this is an era of hundreds of television channels. This is an era where we have multiple news channels. The good news about news channels is that you're going to be able to get the news exactly when you want it, not at 6:30 when the broadcast network does its evening newscast. And the bad news about these networks is that they have to fill 24/7. And to suggest that they're overdoing it means that you're watching too much. These channels are available to tune in when you need to, when you want to, and have the time to tune in. But to fault cable news networks for being on this story so incessantly is to not really understand the nature of the beast.
Carol made the point that we see Michael Jackson as this huge crossover figure, a racial crossover figure artistically and in the entertainment world, and yet it seems to me that the interest in this seems polarized, at least according to what people are telling these researchers. Lisa, is that common these days for viewing to be so polarized, for people, blacks and whites, to have very different opinions about what is worth seeing and talking about?
You know, it's interesting because about once a year, the Nielsen Company, which is the number crunching company for the TV industry, will put out a top 10 list of shows in white households and in African American households. And there is crossover, but there are also a lot of shows that are very different. A show that is very popular with African American viewers is not watched in the same numbers by white viewers. Football, when football was on ABC, it was always the number one show. But shows that were, for instance, black cast comedies tended to have a large African-American audience but a much smaller white audience. And there are some shows, some scripted shows, that managed to sort of unite the viewing audience. And those were the shows that really succeeded in this country. And everybody always harkens back to The Cosby Show, which was one of the greatest examples. That was watched by white families and black families alike in very large numbers.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the media coverage of Michael Jackson's death and his memorial service. We're speaking with Washington Post TV columnist Lisa DeMoraes and Carol Doherty of the Pew Research Center. Carol, what about Lisa's earlier point that, you know, maybe our viewers and listeners protest too much, that although the findings say that a majority of Americans overall say that they've had enough of this story, the ratings have been astounding.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think those things are kind of incompatible. I think people, again, you know, they are tuning in large numbers, in part because it's unavoidable, frankly. I mean, you can't.
I don't know. There are books. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
Well,
it's not unavoidable. You can,
no, but our research shows that 70%
of Americans. Some nice CDs I could recommend.
Right. 70% of Americans get their news from television. And if you watched cable or even network, especially the morning shows lately, you've been getting basically nothing but Michael Jackson. So there's some of that. And I think. But people also can be drawn to the story and yet see it as just too much coverage.
Is there any way you can tell from your data whether the people who say that it's too much are still watching it?
Oh, I think that a certain number, a good number of people who say it's too much are watching it. I think that's pretty clear.
Final thought, Lisa, from you. We've talked a lot on this program, and many people are writing about the dilemma that the so-called mainstream journalism finds itself in. On the one hand, people constantly criticize the media for being celebrity-driven, and yet you've got a cultural figure like this who's very important to a number of people who did make news in a number of ways, whose own personal life seemed to reflect a lot of the identity struggles, gender bending, racial shape-shifting, all of that a lot of people were experiencing in their own lives, albeit in an extreme way. And this kind of an environment, is there any way that serious media could afford not to cover this?
I think it would have been irresponsible of them not to cover it, because I don't think that our culture is an unimportant subject. Getting back to your other point about people who say has been too much Jackson coverage but still watching, this is not just when you turn on the news getting inundated because you want to hear about what's going on overseas and you're stuck listening to Michael Jackson stories. You look at the Michael Jackson specials that the broadcast networks did the day of his death and shortly after his death, and those shows did some of the biggest numbers that broadcast TV has done all summer and some of the biggest numbers that any television has done that summer. And these are not people who are tuning in because they want to hear some other news story and are suffering through the Michael Jackson material. These are specials about Michael Jackson that people are tuning into by the millions.
Lisa DeMorais is a columnist for The Washington Post. Carol Doherty is the Associate Director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. They were both kind enough to join us from their respective offices in Washington, D.C. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.